Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's me, Josh, the person who hosts this show. It's been a few years since I've been doing these ones. So what I thought I'd do, seeing we're in the lead up to Melbourne Comedy Festival, is I'll put out the previously only behind the paywall Don't You Know Who I Am's that we recorded at Morris House, the Basement Comedy Club, of 2022 and 2023. I'm going to put these out every day of this week, and so you can enjoy them. But why am I doing this? Well, it's all promotion, baby. I'm doing this to promote my shows in the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Yes, I'm doing 4 Don't You Know Who I Am's Saturdays, 3 p.m. at Morris House in the Basement Comedy Club. It's 120 Exhibition Street. So that's March 30, April 6, April 13, April 20. Tickets are at joshearl.com.au. Season pass is $65. Single show is $20. Plus, while I've got you here, I'm also doing a live stand-up show, my brand new stand-up show, 4 Burners. It's not a podcast. I do have a podcast called 4 Burners, but this is the stand-up show based on the same premise. It's at Tasma Terrace, which is at 4 Parliament Place. So I'm doing that April 8 to April 21, every single night at 8:35. If you buy a ticket to one of the preview shows, that's April 8, 9 or 10, you get a free ticket to any Don't You Know Who I Am of your choice during the Comedy Festival. All you got to do is simply message me on Instagram with the name of the booking. My DMs are open, and I'll put you on the door for whatever Don't You Know Who I Am you want to go to. So hopefully you enjoy these. If you want to hear more Patreon episodes, like the Comedy Republic seasons, Catfish seasons, the Sydney and Brisbane shows I did, head over to patreon.com/dykwia. That's patreon.com/dykwia. And you've got hundreds of hours of bonus content for just $5 a month. Anyway, that's all from me. Enjoy this episode recorded live at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. It's a real funny one. Cheers.
Hi. Hello. Welcome to Don't You Know Who I Am, the podcast that asks who knows whom, who knows what, because who knows why. My name is Josh Earle. How are we all doing Tuesday night? We good? You sound very good. Hey, just by round of applause, who's heard the show before? Who's never heard the show before and they're just coming in because it's warm? Thank you. Thank you. Front row, front row. So for those who don't know, what I do every show, we get some guests out, but at the start of every show, I go through the internet and I find other Josh Earls. I have to Google Josh Earle, which is, it's tough when you're doing a show on the festival Googling your name. You know, sometimes you see stuff you don't want to see. So, like this one that I found. So I realised this week, I upset some people on a Reddit forum about tennis. This is why. So I tweeted 3 months ago when we had the Australian Open. I said, tennis audiences are the easiest audiences in the world to make laugh. Move a bug from the court, big laugh. Interact with the ball kid, laughter and applause. Run to the side and take the linesperson's job and hand them your racket, you've just clocked tennis comedy. So that's... And this prompted a discussion with people calling comedians the saltiest people in the world. And then 12 comments down, Dave Hughes got a drive-by insult for no reason. So someone said, Dave Hughes is not funny. I'm like, it's just, what's Dave done? He's in his mansion just tweeting about Dan Andrews. It's not his fault. See, it's very easy to do it. Sorry. Sorry, Hughesy. Hey, what I do, I get 4 very funny people and I quiz them all about their lives. So let's meet them now. Our first guest shares their name with the coach of the Perry Orcs Hawks basketball team in Perth. But one we have here is performing their show, Nipples. Please welcome us, Deanne Smith. Yeah! Hello, mate.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm very happy to be here.
I was just figuring out today, 15 years we've known each other.
That hurts my feelings.
We met when we were 3. That's how.
Yeah. We also met when we had the same haircut.
It's not too different now, to be honest.
Well, I think you look great, but we both had that kind of emo swoop situation.
We looked like Tegan and Sarah.
Yeah, it was pretty adorable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Pretty great.
How's the show?
Show's going well. Very
Excellent.
Happy with it. Yeah.
Excellent. I'm glad you're back.
Thank you.
Let's move on.
Okay.
It's weird. Good. All right, also joining us, a first timer to the podcast. He shares his name with a certified carpet inspector in California. No comment, Deanne? Okay. But the one I have here is doing their show, Electric. Please welcome Ed Gamble, everyone! Hey, Ed.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Do you know this certified carpet inspector?
It sounds like something you'd read on the front of an offensive T-shirt. Like a federal boob inspector.
Yeah. I don't know what their job would be.
Yeah, I mean, just go in and sort of go, that's a carpet.
That's a carpet.
Yeah.
Thread count? Is that something to do with carpets?
I don't know.
Hey, well, it's your first time to the country.
It is.
But people keep saying that you've been here before.
Yeah, look, I think there's a guy who looks like me who's been going around doing shows under my name, because everyone I've told is my first time here, they go, no, you were here in 2017. I'm like, the fuck did that guy do?
Welcome. Okay, our next guest is also another first timer to the podcast. They share their name with a Michigan woman who is the account manager for the Advanced Textiles Association. But what I have here is doing their show, Going Up. Please welcome in Sarah Schaefer, everyone! Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you.
I can see the difference between you and Ed. Ed brought two beers. You brought one.
Yeah.
This one's nearly finished.
I'm regretting it now. That was a really good move.
We can get you another one.
Okay,
I'm sure
okay,
you can.
Okay.
First time to Australia?
No.
Oh, when did you come before?
Get your facts straight.
Don't you know who she is?
People think Ed has been here a bunch. They have no idea I've been here. what does that say? No, I was here in 2016 for the festival for 2 weeks on the headliner show.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. And I saw Sarah's show the other night. It's amazing. You have to go see it. It's called Going Up.
Yay!
I met her there because she got me out of the audience. And
I did.
I felt weird being on stage in someone else's show.
You were great. You were perfect.
Thanks. Okay, let's move on. I don't care well with compliments. Okay, finally, it's a comedian who shares his name with a Melbourne man whose LinkedIn profile simply says, looking for new opportunities and challenges. That could also double as his Tinder profile. Who knows? Please welcome back to the podcast from his show, Search. It is Mark Watson, everyone! Hi, Mark.
Hi, Josh. I'm just here looking for new opportunities.
Well, you've come to the right place. How you doing, Mark? It's good to see you.
Yeah, it's nice to be back. I think I did this podcast, it's years ago, isn't it?
Yeah, on this stage, you and Deanne were on the same episode. Yeah. So I've separated you from what I remember from last time. And yeah.
There's a lot of beef here.
This will get ugly. Yeah.
I hope so. Okay, our first
We're both going to internally spiral. That's all that's going to happen with us. Yeah.
Mark's a very violent man. He's got a very bad reputation in the UK.
I'm a guy. I've only got one drink with me, but this is wine. This is a real fucking deal.
All right, our first game tonight is called Social Meter. What I'm going to do, I'm going to read out tweets from the four of you.
Ah.
If you think you know who wrote them...
Immediate worry for Ed.
Yeah.
I see. This is the night it happens.
Yeah, one of us is cancelled tonight.
Yeah, at least you know now.
I'll read them out. If you think you know who wrote them, you buzz in. Your names are your buzzers.
Okay.
Okay, you get a point if you get it right, a point to the person who actually wrote it if you're incorrect. You can't buzz in for your own ones, otherwise I'll call you a dipshit. Okay?
Okay,
it's a term of endearment, though. Don't worry. Okay.
So, what if you don't remember it's yours?
You still get called a dipshit.
You're a dipshit. Yeah. Right, okay, dipshit.
All right.
Dipshit is dipshit, mate.
Yeah.
So it begins.
Question one. Apparently, my brain is so warped by MILF and DILF that I just read TGIF as that grandma I'd fuck.
Oh, it's good stuff. Ed.
Yes, Ed.
Deanne.
You are correct. It was Deanne, yes.
How did you know?
Because we all laughed at the joke and you went all quiet. So I thought...
I did kind of go...
Deanne's just not laughing their own jokes.
Wow.
It's just psychology, yeah.
Yeah.
Deanne's like...
It is good. In this country, we have a state called New South Wales, which is NSW, and I always read it as not suitable for work.
Yeah,
that's how I read it, yeah. Okay, question two. It's weird how when I do my own research, I find boring facts, but when others do their own research, they find out that Hillary put tiny computers in our blood. What am I doing wrong?
Mark.
Deanne.
Yes, Mark.
Sarah.
You are correct, yes, it was Sarah, yeah. Yes.
Really wish I'd tweeted more jokes now.
Me too.
If the next one is, please come to my extra show.
Yeah, yeah.
Question three. Taking pre-workout to clean my oven.
And please come to my extra show.
I didn't hear it correctly.
Taking
pre-workout. Read it again, for fuck's sake.
To clean my oven.
Deanne.
Yes, Deanne.
Ed?
Yes, you are correct. Okay.
Oh, it's going to be slim pickings from me, I'm afraid.
So do we need to explain what pre-workout is?
Yes, I don't know what that means.
Ed, do you want to explain?
It's something that big boys take when before they work out. It's basically legalised cocaine to take before the gym.
Okay.
Ask me if I take it.
Do you take it?
Yeah, yeah.
I took it for the first time recently. It makes your whole skin tingle. It's fucking mad. It made my face itchy. Or am I allergic to it?
Yeah,
tell me
that.
I'm going to stop taking that.
Good stuff. Okay. Question four. Eating cake is like eating bread that loves you.
Sarah.
Yes, Sarah.
Mark?
No, that was Deanne. I'll point this to Deanne.
Yeah!
The laugh stopped so abruptly.
Yeah, I know.
It got real. You were like, oh, and I was like, gotcha. I was
like, I'm taking it way too seriously. Like, now. You
fuck!
Of course, it's important. The winner gets 10 grand.
The audience have never known that.
Oh, yeah,
I get every single winner $10,000. Yeah. That's why I really need you to join the Patreon, people. Okay. Question five. I'm as old as someone who'd be in a covers band at your wedding.
Ed.
Yes, Ed.
Mark.
Yes, yeah, you are correct. Yes.
Obviously me.
Yeah. Just the oldest one.
And I don't think...
Yeah, well, I tweeted that. I tweeted that on my 43rd birthday. I thought, 43, fucking hell.
That is
I might as well be a dentist. Yeah.
Question six. It would have to be so hot in a room before it's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes, won you the argument on its own.
Ed.
Yes, Ed.
Sarah.
No, that is Mark.
Mark, that's good stuff.
It's a joke, it's a joke.
Yeah.
You told me you didn't tweet jokes.
No, sometimes I do. I might be an old guy, but I've got my uses.
Oh. Yeah. I'm gutted.
At what temperature do you think that would kick in?
Where it became like you have to take your clothes off. It'd have to be... Like way hotter than this.
Yeah. So, Bikram yoga. How hot is Bikram yoga? We just say hot yoga now, don't we? Sorry.
I don't know. I don't think hot yoga instructors go around going, take off all your clothes. But
I'm sure some of them do, Mark. Some of them do.
Bikram did, and that's why we don't say Bikram yoga anymore.
Yeah. All right. Question seven. I hate it when footballers lift their shirts up to cry and expose their little tummies. They should give them hankies.
Mark.
Yes, Mark.
Ed.
Yes, it was it. Yes.
I forgot about that one. It's all right.
It's that one. Yes.
Do you have the word hanky in America?
I don't know really what we're talking about
with
that one.
Okay.
There's a lot of terms.
Footballers
in that
clued
one.
Me in.
So, football. What is it? Football is the round ball game.
Yeah, I know that much. Okay, yeah.
A hanky is a piece of cloth that you carry around and blow your nose into.
Oh yeah, it's the same thing. Okay,
but what do you call it?
A handkerchief.
And you couldn't decipher hanky.
I just went somewhere else. I was like, it's probably penis or something.
That happens in my shows a lot, to be honest. Half of my jokes, people are going, he's probably talking about a penis. Yeah.
The old hanky-wanky. We've heard of it.
Yeah. Yankee-hanky. Anyway.
Because in the UK, what do you call, like, a woolen, like, hat? You don't call it beanie, do you?
Yeah, beanie. Yeah.
Oh, you do call it beanie?
Yeah.
Is that a new thing?
No, it's not a new thing if you guys just got beanies.
Yeah.
I was told you just called it a woolen hat.
Yeah, someone's been having you on there,
mate.
Oh,
no.
Yeah.
Ask about Canada.
Oh, what are they calling in Canada?
Toque.
A toque.
Yeah, isn't that fun?
That's fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, there you go, guys.
Someone's making shit up to you.
Also, the most Canadian thing is, ask about Canada. Yeah. Ask about Canada. Canada's real, you guys.
Ish.
Question eight. Back when I was a kid, me and my siblings would literally cheer if the parental advisory before any program said nudity.
Deanne.
Yes, Deanne.
I hope it's Sarah.
You are correct, it is Sarah, yes. Because it said HBO, but I didn't say that part because I thought I might give it away.
Yes, it was HBO, and I actually got a reply to that, which was like, oh, so you grew up rich? Like, check your privilege. There's always one. There's always one.
Question 9. You had to sit through a 90-minute meeting that could have been an email. Babe, I've had 3-year relationships that could have been an email.
Ed.
Yes, Ed.
Deanne.
Yes, you are correct, yes.
I should have guessed it.
Sorry, Sarah.
Sarah from 15 years ago?
Oh, my God, I did say a real name.
I was like, what
But
happened?
Sarah is also a generic placeholder name.
Yeah.
But Bad luck. Sarah from 15 years ago.
Yeah. All right, placeholder.
Yeah.
All right.
We have too much history, Josh.
Our last question for the first round. One day you're young, the next day you... Oh, one day you're young, the next your best Christmas present is a Theragun.
Sarah.
Yes, Sarah.
Mark.
No, that was a gamble.
Not every tweet about being fucking old is me. Most of them, but not all of them.
Did you really get a Theragun?
Yeah, I fucking love it.
Yeah, I got one too for Christmas.
Yeah, it's like...
Awesome. When I saw that tweet, I thought, I wish I'd done that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's incredible.
What's it like?
It's just like brutal.
Ah, you have one too?
Yeah.
Pre-workout, workout, Theragun.
Yeah. Yeah.
No back pain. All right. So fucking late. I'm sorry. At the end of the round, the scores are Sarah. No points yet. Don't worry.
I knew coming into this I was gonna do poorly. So.
No.
Placeholder name. Placeholder contestant.
Ooh.
Do you guys... Sorry, is this not like a UK panel show?
No, here we're allowed to be nice to each other.
I see. I see. Yeah. I'll remember that going forward.
It takes an adjustment, yeah.
Mark Watson on 2 points.
Come on!
Deanne Smith on 3 points. In the lead on 5 points. It's Ed Gamble. I remember last time, Mark, you took it very seriously. You really wanted to win.
I'm still taking it seriously, okay, don't worry. Right. I'm not exactly sitting here comfortably 3 points down on gamble.
All right, this round is called Let's Get Physical. Now, in this round, we're talking about health and the lengths we go to better ourselves. Now, Mark here on the end sometimes frequents a sauna. But what happened once in a public sauna when he was sharing the space with a man who would have easily been 75 years old that has stayed with him? As in, the memory, not the man.
I'm not staying in touch with the man.
Was it A, the man stood up, walked over to the coals and started spitting on them? Not just once or twice, but constantly spitting. Mark, not one for confrontation while wearing a towel, just let the man do it. That's A. B, the old man, just the heat was at its maximum, just busted out 20 sit-ups and Mark watched and thought to himself, I'll fuck off. Or C, the old man was very still and Mark for sure thought he was dead. Mark waved his hand in front of the guy's face and got no response. Mark then left and got an employee. The two of them walked in to see the very still man. The attendant shook him by the shoulder and the man, without opening his eyes, karate chopped the guy in the neck and said, I'm sleeping. Now, one of these is true. You can ask Mark as many questions you want to try and get the truth out of him, but bear in mind, he wants you to get it wrong, so he gets your point. The floor is open for question. Ask away.
Go
for it.
Can I go? Okay. How many sit-ups can you do just... Just if you had to do them.
If I had to do them, I'd maybe like 10 or something. But in a sauna, I think it's a weird thing to do.
Okay,
I think it's really hard to do in a sauna.
Okay.
So you reckon you could do 10 on like a stage?
What's it?
Whoa.
That was Mark's body telling him no.
No, okay.
I make no such claim. No. Okay. But I think a sauna is a weird place to do setups is all. Probably, yeah.
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 I have a question.
Yeah, go for it.
How many times a day do you see someone doing anything and think, oh, fuck off?
Most times.
Okay.
Yeah. most evidence of people functioning well as humans, I do sort of think, fuck off, yeah. That said, I still believe I could do a number of sit-ups if I had to.
Sure, yeah.
But we're not that kind of show who would make
you do it. It's a podcast. Your Patreon guys wouldn't get any value out of it.
No, I mean, the people here might, but that's, yeah.
Yeah, but this the people audience... here, to be fair, are just a means to an end for you.
They wouldn't start chanting Watson.
It's the last thing we want, actually.
All right, yeah. So you're going to say at the last thing of the show, you'll do it. Okay, great. Okay. If Ed beats you, there you go. That's your punishment. He gets $10,000, you do 10 sit-ups.
It's going to be hard to accept. Already the 10,000 that I'm having to grovel in front of him. Fine. And the fucking guy is diabetic.
If the spitting one is true, what would you say is the effect on the coals of just a simple piece of spit?
Well, it's interesting. You think that someone spitting on it would have no effect at all, but it does kind of like, it does sort of, it fizzles a bit.
Yeah.
And it makes you wonder what would happen if someone like poured a proper, like a bottle of champagne on there or something. Just no one's got that initiative. Yeah. Basically, if you spit on the coals, it sort of goes, it fizzes for a bit and then you think. But your main question, of course, is why the fuck did you do that?
Yeah.
So, I like Sarah. You thought you had to check your privileges by having HBO. He's pouring champagne in a sauna.
Exactly. Why are you even thinking of that? Where'd you get the champagne?
Was there no other... Because normally there's a bucket of water, right, to pour on.
Yeah, there wasn't. And this is why, you know, I suppose why the guy spat on it. But it's like, you've got to be... Like, I'd never have that confidence myself. If there's not a bucket, I'm just accepting the sauna's not as warm as it could be. Yeah.
Okay, the karate chop. Did the employee make any noise when they got karate chopped? And if so, could you do that noise for us?
I'm the only one who's tried to ask a question so far to try and work out what the real one is. You're just going, Mark, do stuff.
Yeah. There's more than one. There's more than one avenue here. It was kind of like,
okay,
that sort of thing.
Oh, see, that sounds convincing.
That's good, actually.
Yeah. Of course, yeah. They're all convincing, and in a way, it's the merit of the format.
Thank you for the compliment, yes.
Yeah, no, I think this works well, Josh.
Thank you. Do people think they know what they're going to lock in?
I know what I want to be true.
Okay.
Yeah, but what we want is not always what is happening.
I know.
Fuck knows, we all know that.
Sarah, do you think you know?
I have a guess.
Yeah, okay, what do you think?
Or we have questions. We just
if you all think you know, we'll do that. What do you think? A, B, or C?
B.
You think B, it was bust up 20 sit-ups?
Okay. Yeah.
Life is not always what we want. Come on.
Ed.
Spit.
Spit.
I also want spit to be true.
The correct answer was B, so a point there for Sarah. Oh!
Back in the game. Yes! Yes!
And that's
there's that competitive American
spirit. That's the attitude you need to have, yeah.
But 2 points for you, Mark, there, because you got their points, so well
I'm
done.
I'm happy, yeah.
So the guy just started doing sit-ups. Can I ask, like, was it...
The guy was really old. You're looking at him thinking, you'd be lucky to even walk away from this sauna. And then, he just suddenly... He poured water on it, it's really steamy, and he suddenly just did, 20 sit-ups, and you're watching and thinking, this is a display of rude health in old age, which makes me feel pretty fucking... Yeah.
When we talk display as well, was it robe on, robe off?
It's robe off. He's just in swimming trunks.
Okay.
But what was weird was he didn't do it like a performance. He wasn't doing it to impress anyone else. He was just like, my thing is, every night I just go down and do 20 sit-ups in the heat. Yeah. It was... I don't like to say this, but I hope he's died since. Because, you know... I did feel quite emasculated, and like, fine, it's great to see someone that's 78 that's in rude health, but, like, come on, man.
Was it just you in there? Was it anyone else?
Yeah, it was just me and
yeah,
him.
Yeah, that's a power play.
What made it feel like a yeah. power play, for sure.
Yeah. yeah.
Did he make eye contact?
Every time he got up.
I mean, yeah, yeah. He knew I was watching him. I couldn't tear my eyes away. If there'd even been another even one other person, would have felt slightly less pointed. But as it was just, looking back, yeah, it was flirting. and, you know.
Could you have left, or would it have involved stepping over him?
No, I would have had to pass him, yeah. And also, if I'd left, it would have felt a bit like a rejection of what he was doing. Like, I had to support it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he needs a spotter. Okay, at the end of the round, scores. Sarah, you're on 1 point. Give it for Sarah Schaefer. Dan Smith's on 3 points. Ed Gamble on 5 points. On 4 points is Mark Watson. So you're coming back, Mark.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
All right, this round is called Yeah, Nah, Yeah. Now, in this round, each of you are given a fact about someone else on the panel. If you think it's true, you'll say yeah. If you think it's a lie, you'll say nah. You can ask them as many questions as you want, but bear in mind, they want you to get it wrong, so they get your point. So the first one is to Ed. Now, Deanne was once parrot sitting, for a friend when the parrot died. Deanne went to replace the bird, but at the checkout, she discovered that a bird of that caliber cost $1,000. Not having $1,000, they called their dad for a loan. Deanne's dad didn't believe them and was convinced it was for drugs. Yeah or nah? You can ask them as many questions.
I believe your dad believing it was for drugs.
Okay.
But the parrots. Who was this friend that you were parrot sitting for?
Well, Josh got that part wrong. It wasn't a friend. It was just someone that I knew in Mexico.
completely normal.
So not a friend, just someone you knew.
Like an acquaintance, yeah.
An acquaintance in Mexico.
In Mexico. Yeah.
Can you give us the name of this acquaintance in Mexico?
Mauricio.
I love that. I believe it's a name, but also I believe you could have panicked and made up a Spanish name.
Sarah. Sarah.
And where was Mauricio?
Traveling. I don't know where, actually.
General traveling. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. What was the name of the parrot?
Paco.
Is that a panic parrot name?
It sounded like it, didn't it?
And what was the breed of the parrot?
I have no idea. Like a red one, like classic parrot.
Just your box standard generic parrot.
Classic parrot.
But it was $1,000.
Yeah.
How did it die? How did you discover it had died?
I just discovered it dead in the morning.
But how did it look when it was dead?
Like an old man that had done too many drugs in a sauna. No, just like lying off its perch, dead.
Okay. I'll tell you what, you're doing callbacks to the rest of the show, and I feel like it's a diversion tactic. So you didn't buy the parrot in the end?
No.
So what did you tell Mauricio?
I told him the parrot flew away.
And could you please do an impression of Mauricio when you found out what happened?
Now we're fucking talking.
Ay, ay, ay.
Was he dressed up as a bumblebee at the time?
He was dressed up as a bumblebee.
I call bullshit on this.
You going to say nah?
Yes, I'll stick with the format. Nah.
Ed, you are correct. This is not a true story. Point there for Ed.
Not a true story.
There were some good lies in there, though.
But not for the reasons you think. I really was watching Mauricio's parrot, Paco.
Oh, so that was true!
That's all true.
That wasn't the problem.
That's all true. And Paco sounded made up because I couldn't exactly remember, and then I remembered. It was called Paco.
And when you're remembering stuff, do you know you look like you're lying? Because you went...
Papaco.
Paco.
It was all coming back to me. So I'm a little hazy on some of these details because I was living in Mexico at the time, and I did indeed do drugs, and they're not great for memory. I'll tell you that right now. But Paco didn't die. Paco just was gone. Was gone. I came out one morning and he was gone. He lived in like an open air patio and he wasn't there anymore.
Well, I think keeping a bird in an open air patio is...
Yeah.
Unlike a cat, you don't just let him out to go to the toilet to come back.
And I was like so nervous to tell Mauricio about it. I mean, that was my job, to parrot sit. And I truly had no idea what happened. And more horrifying, like I just thought Mauricio would be really sad. You know, it's a horrible thing to... lose someone's pet that you're pet sitting. And Mauricio was like, I know who did this. That's even worse.
My God.
So I was just wrapped up in some parrot smuggling situation in Mexico. It was the rest of my stay there was horrifying. Like I stayed, but I didn't know what was gonna happen next.
Well, to do the research, I looked up how much a bird costs.
Yeah.
And I actually was lower. They're at $2,500.
Oh I God. Figured it was even more than that, yeah.
Yeah, that's too much for a bird.
Yeah.
They're flying around for nothing. All right, so Ed got the point.
Boo. I mean, well done.
Thank you.
Now, you're going to point here. Now, to Deanne. While at school, a classmate of Mark's dad was very sick. So, of course, all the other classmates were very sensitive to the kid. But Mark, jealous of the attention the kid was receiving... decided to lie and claim that his dad died in a car accident. Yeah or nah?
Again, it's what I want to be true. I will ask questions, but yeah.
The game's not about what we want.
No, but how old were you?
I'm like 8 or 9. This is first school, it's junior school.
And you said your dad died in a car accident?
Yeah, because this kid who's dad was genuinely sick, got loads of hype for it. And I like...
Do you remember, like, what are some specific things that other kids would do or say or, like...
Well, it's like...
Did the teachers go easy on him? What was the deal?
Yeah, it wasn't about the teachers. It was about just the attention he got on the playground. This kid is called James Smith, and...
sure.
And everyone's like, oh, wow, it's really bad that your dad is... And I thought, yeah, but come on, what about... Like, let's get the focus back on me in playtime, I think. So, yeah, I basically just... but his dad was genuinely ill, whereas mine, to be fair, had not been in a car crash. And still hasn't. Just drive sensibly.
Do you remember like where you got the idea of a car crash?
No. All I can think is I must have just thought, right, what's worse than your dad being ill?
Yeah.
It's your dad being dead. Which I stand by.
Yeah.
Still no clues as to why you went with car crash, though.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it's well, I don't know why I started talking.
It's bog standard. Yeah, yeah. It's your red parrot of deaths.
Classic car crash. No, I mean, it's exciting to an 8-year-old. A car crash? That's
maybe
everything.
Maybe just heard about a car crash maybe or something. Yeah. But I don't know where I got it from. I'm trying to think, was it a film or something? But I don't think I'd have seen a film at that age with a car crash in. No.
No, but you got your little play cars. They're crashing. That's what they do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know it happens. I mean, and if you're driving home tonight, be careful. Sometimes I like to just be the voice of reason.
Yeah. I'm voting for the world I want, and I'm saying yeah.
Deanne, you are correct. This is a true story. Yes.
It happened. Yeah.
We love when that happens. Tell us more.
What were the repercussions?
See, that was quite difficult because I knew it had happened, so I tried to falsify details. But if the thing is real, it's really hard to make it sound like a lie. I think much easier to... Anyway, we don't need to get behind the curtain.
The James Smith moment was lovely, though. I thought that was a lovely...
Right, so that was a lie.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. It was too little too late. Yeah. And she deserves her point.
Yeah, yeah.
And, the repercussions were I got brought into the headmaster's office and he said, I don't think your dad has died in a car crash. I'm eight. I have to hold my hands up and say no. No, he hasn't. He's quite literally still a chemistry teacher.
See, I'm annoyed I didn't get that question because I know that that was true because Mark told me last night at someone's birthday party. Not seen Mark in a few months. Straight into I once told my dad was in a car crash.
When I told you last night, I'd forgotten we were on a podcast. whose premise is this thing true or false? Yeah.
And did this story kind of come again like 20 years later when you were doing Edinburgh and you saw the people doing dead dad shows were doing very well and you're like, oh, fuck it, I should have made up another story. Like, yeah.
For sure. Like my dad's 70 now, but the fuck is still alive. He is. So I've not had the advantages that a lot of comedians have. I really love the guy, and I'm glad that he's still alive, but it's meant I've had to carve Edinburgh shows out of other things.
Yeah. So he's alive, and he wasn't even an asshole?
No!
That's a huge disadvantage.
My dad was A, a really nice dad, B, still alive. Yeah, it's a wonder I've made it this far.
Yeah, it really is.
So a point there to Deanne. Now, to Mark. As a funny prank, Sarah's partner swapped his number in her phone with her dad's number.
Oh, no.
Sarah didn't realise until she innocently texted I love you to what she thought was her husband, only for her dad to call straight away and ask, what's wrong, are you in trouble? Yeah or nah? Mm.
So how did he get into your phone to make this change?
So as a comedian, you know that sometimes you've got to film your set, and you need it to start recording like at a certain point, and I asked my husband to push record, and he was like, well, unlock your phone so I can get in there. And so it was unlocked, and he took advantage of that moment, you know?
And it was strange for your dad to, like, it was rare enough for you to say, I love you.
Yeah, just a random I love you is not how we would roll. I think he probably was like, is she on a plane right now? Like, it's going down.
I have a question, though. And I've never made it past, I do relationships very quick, I'm in and I'm out. But how confident was your husband that you wouldn't sext him?
Very confident. Very confident. It's not part of the repertoire, you know what I mean?
Okay. Because that was my first terrifying thought.
That's not a thing. It's all in person, you know? We prefer physical sexting.
Old school.
Yeah.
Physical sexting, they call it. Yeah.
Yeah. Physical sexting. Just a...
How was your night? Well, I had some physical sexting.
He opens his eyes and my pussy is there. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well... Regardless of who gets the points, I think that's been overshadowed.
It's better. It's better in person, you know?
Great proponent for plays, this. This is...
what was the fallout from this event?
I mean, it was very quick. A very quick fallout of like, yeah, no, I'm fine. Wait, what? And then it was... You know when like... Something like that happens, you're just so confused. Why are you calling me?
Yeah.
And it didn't take long. And, you know, I looked over, and of course, my husband's like, oh.
What do you think, Mark?
Well, it all sounds completely plausible, but just, I don't know, my gut feeling is nah.
You gonna say nah? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mark, you're correct. That is a untrue story, yes.
Yeah. Nah.
But I found this yesterday. I'd already written the first thing. But you and your dad shared a text yesterday that you shared with the world.
Oh my god!
It's amazing. Follow Sarah on Instagram. Was it Instagram or Twitter?
It was on Twitter.
Yeah,
because he follows me on Instagram.
Okay,
but he's not on Twitter. Yeah. I had to put it on Twitter. So there's a famous picture of three girls. I mean, they look like teenagers or college-aged girls, and one of them is spread eagle over, like, gushing water. Have you seen this? And she's going... and her friends are, like, laughing, and it's a hilarious squirting joke. in my opinion.
You had to be there.
Yeah, it's so funny. It's such a funny
picture. It's a
great photo.
Yeah.
And my dad sends me shit on Instagram all the time, and he sent it, and he was like, too many beers? You know, and I was like, Dad, no.
But that's why memes are good, right? You can put your own meaning on them. Yeah. And your dad had just downgraded it.
Yeah. Or he knows. And he's like, too many beers?
Maybe he's testing you to see if you know, yeah.
What?
Maybe he's testing you to see if you know what it means.
That's, oh, he knows I know because I have a joke about it on one of my albums.
Oh, okay.
So I'm like, did he forget? Or does he just not see the expression on her face? Like, like, what's happening?
I think that's fair for a dad. I feel like squirting was invented in the early 90s.
Yeah, 1993.
Right? This is laughter of recognition.
I've said this on the pod before, but in this country, we had a prime minister called John Howard, and they were going through the censorship laws, and they were talking about female ejaculation and squirting. And he was like, no, that's not a thing. And in Parliament, they had to explain to our Prime Minister what squirting was. And it's in the Hansard records. You can go and see John Howard going, that's not a thing, what are you talking about? And people going, no, there is female ejaculation.
Unbelievable, yeah. But what year, more or less?
Well, he got kicked out in 2007. He was Prime Minister from 96, I think, to
2007. This is what I'm saying. It holds true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was invented in a Jim Carrey film in the 90s. I think it was in the first Ace Ventura. Yeah.
Jim Carrey was the main guy in those days. But like, he was the main,
the squirting guy, yeah.
Somebody stop me. Okay. All right. Now, to Sarah. Ed once took a shit off his neighbour's roof. Yeah or nah?
Yeah. Now I'm just going to go straight there. No. Okay, so... First question, was this a conscious choice of, like, I'm doing this because it's intentional, funny, revenge, whatever? Or was it like, oh, my God, I'm on a roof, and right now I have to shit, and that was your only option? Was it an emergency situation, or was it a choice?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say all shits are intentional in their own way.
What a blessed life you've led.
Check you know, your whether privilege, it's, man.
Whether it's, whether it's body or mind, the body has intentions even if the mind doesn't. You know? Okay. In this case, the body needed to go, but the mind wasn't ready.
Okay.
So was it? It was sort of, I probably could have made it to a bathroom in my house, but I thought it'd be fun.
Okay.
To take a shit.
So
off
what
a roof.
About a bathroom in? What's the roof situation? Was this an apartment building, or was it a separate building from your building?
Separate building.
Okay.
Houses next to each other.
Y'all were up there for what reason? Party or?
No. So it was his like shed roof.
Okay. Okay.
So it was like a flat roof shed at the end of his garden, and we were hanging out up there.
Oh, okay.
And then I probably could have jumped down and gone to my house, but instead I thought, wouldn't it be fun to hang my naked ass over
this? I literally, when I first heard it, imagined you on like a 10-story building, just like shitting into the city, like letting it fly into the wind.
Killing someone.
I think killing someone, because the velocity, it gets very, yeah.
Dangerous thing.
If this was a British person guessing this, they could tell from my voice that I wasn't on a 10-story roof shitting into the city.
I don't understand.
I was on my on my neighbour's big flat roof shed in a suburban area of London.
Okay, all right. Where? So what did your friend do? Did they laugh? Were they like, what the fuck?
I think they did one as well. We were kids.
How old?
I'm going to say like 12, 11 or 12.
Okay, now we're talking. All right. Oh, shit. Okay, I think I can guess now.
What do you think?
Yeah.
You are correct. Yes, it is a true story. Yes. I mean, you could have played that two ways. You could have played it like, would I come up with a lie for someone who's never been on the show before saying they shut off a roof? Or did Ed actually shut off the roof? So you played it well. You played it very well.
Well, I'm not going to give away my how I know it was true. Because I'm going to keep my strategy to myself.
Oh. What was the aftermath of this? As in, did you get in trouble? Did you have to get cleaned
up?
No,
because I did it like it was... There was a gap in between the shed and the fence on my side, so I did it like right down the gap.
Oh.
And then I think I didn't sleep for like a week because I was panicking, what if someone found the shit? And then I remember thinking, do they go away after a bit, or do they rot? Or
turn white like a dog?
Yeah, or will the shit be there forever? It was like a telltale heart, but with a shit.
The telltale shot. Okay.
I would have thought it went the other way and you were like a hero to children. Because that's an incredible story. Like, yes. Did you hear about the kid that shit off the roof?
Yeah. You've been really brave.
Yeah, thanks. And yes, I wipe my ass with leaves.
Because, Sarah, you sent through a story because this was his neighbour's house. You told me a story about your neighbour. It's not coming up in the last round. I want to hear this story because it sounds...
Oh, right now? Just tell it up?
I want
up.
To hear it now, yeah.
Okay, so I lived in an apartment in L.A. for many years, and we had a neighbor. His name was Maddie, and he was always pleasant, friendly. And then on the day that we were moving out, I was cleaning the apartment up, and I heard this banging noise, and it was like... Like, just so loud, like a specific banging noise on a window, and I thought someone was trying to knock or whatever. I was very confused. Long story short, then a window breaks, and I run out, and I see Maddie just, like, turning and disappearing into the shadows. But I kind of saw his arm doing this, and I was like, what the fuck just happened? The window was broken. And I just knew in my heart that he had been throwing something at the house. I leave, but I have to call the landlord to say, oh, window broke. Like, the neighbor threw a thing, because I didn't want to get charged for the window. So she made me call the police. Police had to come. They found and I was also scared. So I had to get out of there. I was like, I'm not dealing with whatever just happened. The police found this marble, this flat marble. You know, like a... Like, it looks like a flattened marble, like you put it in the bottom of a fish.
Did anyone think it was going to be a very hard shit? Like, is that...
This reminds me of the shit. And it was a very flat marble, and they showed it to me, and it was like I'd seen a ghost. I was filled with terror, because for 7 years, I had been finding flat marbles... Because I had a garden, like all around the garden and the patio, all over the place. And I thought it was just like entropy, like the universe is spreading marbles. Like, it's like in a city, there's just broken glass everywhere and the soil and stuff. And it was a chill. I was like, Maddie has been slingshotting marbles at our house for 7 years because it had been... And I just, for some reason, never registered that someone was throwing them or chucking them at our house.
And on the last day, they actually
on the
broke
last
the
day, he...
So he got it. That's why he had to move out.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Glad I left. Anyway.
Thanks for prompting Sarah to tell that, frankly, horrifying story.
We'll just check your gardens for marbles. Okay. At the end of the...
I am chilled to my core.
But never mind that. Let's see what the scores are.
Yeah, I don't feel safe in the world in a fundamental way now.
But again, let's see what the scores are.
Yeah. The scores are Sarah on 2 points.
Yeah, yeah.
Deanne on 4 points. Mark on 5 points. In the lead on 6 points. It's Ed on six. There you go. All right. Our final round. Here we go. This round is called Who, 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 Who. In this round, I read out 10 questions about you four. If you think you know who it's about, buzz in. Your name's your buzzers. So you get a point if you get it right, a point off if you get it wrong. Only round you can lose points. Ooh. You can't buzz in for your own ones. Here we go.
Wait, you can lose points?
You can lose points.
Okay.
Who here was at an airport lounge when over the PA they started just asking trivia questions and this person got anxious before their flight because they didn't know the name of the monkey from Friends?
Damn. Ed.
I heard Ed first, sorry.
Mark.
No, that was actually Sarah there. A point off.
I was also going to guess Mark.
Yeah.
Fine. let's just caricature me as that guy.
Marcel.
There you go.
Thank you.
Right. Yeah, so, we've all watched Friends.
Also, was it flying out here that you had like a bunch of kids on the plane?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was also a crazy flight story.
Yeah. The flight up here from, well, it was a flight from, there was like 50 kids from Adelaide and they were all visiting Melbourne for, and yeah, the plane took off and they were all like, woo, woo, here we go. And you are slightly nervous, I suppose. And then the plane, there's very, very mild turbulence, but this kid behind me went, we're all going to die, man. And I don't know, really. And the kid kept doing it all the way. He was like, we're going in the sea, man. And the teacher was like, I don't think that you shouldn't, you know. But you don't want to admit you're an adult that doesn't really like that sort of thing. Yeah. Joke's on him, though, because we got here.
Question two. Who here once auditioned to be the face of a chocolate bar? Who auditioned to be the face of a chocolate bar?
Deanne.
Yes, Deanne.
Ed?
You are correct. Yes, it was.
I feel like this is the face of a chocolate bar.
Guess the chocolate bar. What chocolate bar? This is for the audience too.
I just heard someone go, twirl.
Someone said Milky Way. We could have been the Milky Bar Kid right here.
I auditioned to be the Milky Bar Kid.
You are.
And now I'm type 1 diabetic.
That is probably what put them off.
Anyone who didn't get the part, they were like, give him the diabetes.
You're with us or against us.
Question three. Who he had an affair with a person twice their age?
Tricky old guest this, isn't it?
Sarah.
Yes, Sarah.
Deanne.
Yes, you are correct. It was, yes.
Well, it's not going to be Mark, is it?
Fuck you. If I want to have sex with an 84-year-old, I will.
That was bad enough, but there's one audience member that went, whoa! Listen, I was in my 20s. It was at lesbian camp in Michigan. That's all you need to know.
When I got with my wife, I thought she was 23, but I thought she was 31, and that was a big... That's one of the main reasons I was like, yeah, let's go home. Like, that was... Yeah, and then it turned out she was only 23. Oh, well. I was 22, I should point that out.
I was like, and you were 31?
I'd say pop that fact in first, Josh.
Forgot that bit. Hey, who here once got to surprise two teenage girls by introducing them to the band One Direction?
Deanne.
Yes, Deanne.
Mark?
No, that was Sarah.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's not always Mark. Fucking hell.
So when
suddenly 43 is old.
When you said introduce, do you mean this is the boys from the band?
Literally, I had a show on MTV, and we took these two girls for a segment for the show, and we tricked them all day. It was one of the most stressful days of my life. We're lying to them constantly and like corralling them. We came up with this whole ruse of what they were actually doing. We had blindfolds on them. We get them in. The band is this far away from them. We take the blindfolds off and they're sitting in front of One Direction. And we thought it was going to be this very emotional, like Oprah moment. They're teenage girls, so they just went, and like MTV executives were mad at us. It wasn't dramatic of a reaction enough, and we're like, what were we supposed to do? Anyway, they were lovely boys.
What did you lie to the girls about all day?
We told them it was a follow us for the day and pretend to be talk show hosts. So we were like getting them hair and makeup and like, you know, doing the stuff, and you're gonna interview, and there was this show called Jersey Shore. I'm sorry. I apologize on behalf of the network and the country. Jersey, we said, you're going to be interviewing Snooki from the Jersey Shore. You know, and they were like, ooh. They had no idea. And then they were just like, and we had to like go over and be like, ask them about the new album. You know, like we thought they could do like a late night interview. Like,
makes you how much the world's changed. It makes you think, doesn't it, that you put hair and makeup on teenage girls, blindfolded them, and took them into a boy band's dressing room.
Super inappropriate. Super inappropriate.
At the time, you could do that.
It was a different time. It was 2013. It was a different time.
Different generation.
Yeah.
Who here once started telling people they used to be the 10th ranked tennis player in their country?
Ed.
Yes, Ed.
Deanne?
No, that was Mark. Mark said that.
I wish. I knew it.
I like that you think I'm capable of that.
Why did you tell people this, Mark?
I was really drunk and I was... I'll tell you why.
It was a kid in the class that said, I'm the 12th best tennis player. And you said, I'm going to beat you.
It was in Adelaide in 2007. And I don't know if you're familiar with Rod Gilbert, but a couple of mutual friends were talking about Rod Gilbert going, he's amazing, he's like... He's so athletic. He was training for a marathon or something, and I was pissed. And I just said, "What? Well, we've all done sport." I was in the top 10 tennis players in the UK, but I gave it up to do comedy. And no one could definitely.
All of your stories are you being threatened.
Yeah. Of course. Like,
by other dudes.
Yeah, this is, but actually, this is my life, Sarah. Like, it's fun on a podcast, but we've got to look about the wider repercussions.
A lot of us get that sort of thing out in comedy, and you're still going, I'm a tennis player, and my dad died in a car crash.
Yeah. I'm already a comedian, but it's not enough. And I don't even remember saying it. I just know because the next day I woke up. A guy that was there had texted me going, fancy a game of tennis? And I was like, I don't know what that means, but it can't be good news. And
all right. Who here once got recognised at the airport, even though Jared Leto was standing close by and no one bothered him?
Mark.
Yes, Mark.
Ed?
No, it was Deanne Smith.
Oh.
Yeah, they let me through customs. They knew who I was. And Jared Leto was just stuck.
You know, if they let you through customs, it doesn't mean they know who you are.
Oh, hello.
Yes, it's me from the passport.
They recognize me from the passport.
All right, question 7. Who here wanted a gig at a festival at 11 a.m. in the morning, which just happened to be the time the gates were open, so this person did 20 minutes of stand-up to a completely empty field?
Mark.
Yes, Mark.
Ed again.
It was Ed, yes. You were correct, yes. Yeah.
The Jamie Oliver Food Festival.
All right, boaster.
I had to beckon a family from a mile away to come to the front of the barrier so I could banter with them and then send them away to have a nice day.
Because it was a festival where there are security guards in front with their backs to you?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's always good.
Yeah, 11 a.m. Could just see people in the, like, dots in the distance. Still done my contracted time.
Question 8. Who loves playing piano but can no longer do it publicly due to a traumatic experience at a talent show?
Deanne.
Yes, Deanne.
This is unfair that I know this. Sarah.
You are correct, yes.
We had dinner right before the show and she told me she plays piano.
Ah.
Oh. As soon as I said it, I went, shit. Shouldn't have said that.
Maybe you should bring it up in every conversation, Sarah. We get it. You're talented.
Well, do you mind telling us the traumatic experience? You don't
have
to.
I'll do my solo show for you. I love playing piano. I'm not great, but, you know, I love playing. But when I was like 9 years old, it was a church talent show, and I was going to play the Rainbow Connection. And I knew it. I mean, I knew it. Backwards and forwards. I could play it like it was just breath, you know? And when we were leaving the house, my mom was like, where's the sheet music? And I went, please. I don't need that shit. And she was like, are you sure? And I went, Mom, you've seen me. I don't need it. I know it. And she was like, okay. I get to the church talent show. This was a very large Southern Baptist church. And I get up to the front, and I blanked. and I couldn't remember the first notes, and my hands like curled up, and I was like I just froze, and then I started sobbing. My sister had to come get me. My dad was mad about the sheet music. And since then, I mean, I'll get up on stage and talk about squirting. but you put a piano in front of me, and I'm like, no! You know, like, too vulnerable, too scary. So I can't play piano in front of people now. I'm all scarred from it. My stories are dark.
Okay. Yeah. Question nine. This one's quite dark, too. Who, up until age of 30, had never eaten mayonnaise?
Ed.
Yes, Ed.
Mark?
Yes, yeah, yeah. Ed.
That's classic Watson stuff, surely.
I just didn't think I'd like it. But actually, it's lovely. And now every restaurant asks for extra mayonnaise because I'm trying to, you know.
Make up for lost time.
Yeah, make up for lost time, but I can't. I could be eating mayo till I'm 50. I still wouldn't repair the damage I did between 10 and 30. mayonnaise is just fucking lovely. And I really regret the prejudices that I had.
What were your prejudices? Why didn't
I thought it would taste of egg.
Of egg?
Yeah, it tastes of egg because, right, I'm not an egg guy.
Wait.
But mayonnaise is its own world.
It is. It's barely even associated with eggs taste-wise, is it?
Well, I know that now, Ed. Yeah.
I need to ask Sarah if this is an American thing or maybe just a my family's a little bit white trash thing. Mm. Did you ever dip potato chips in mayonnaise?
I didn't, but I definitely saw people. I come from a dip culture, okay. You know, as a Southern white woman.
Again, a real divide between us two and those two there.
Everything should be dipped.
We don't have a dip culture.
Something, yeah.
I just wanted to put it forward, Mark. If you've never had a crisp in mayonnaise, give it a try.
Well, not before it's thirsty, no. Because you're putting the crisp in egg. I don't think so, thank you. Now I'll put anything in mayonnaise. I'd
but don't say your dick. Don't say your dick.
Yeah, I never know if I was going to say it. Yeah.
There's dip cultures and there's dip cultures. You can't.
I'm going to stop hitting this guy. I'm sorry.
And our final question for the night. Who here went to court for underage drinking?
Ed.
Yes, Ed.
Deanne.
You are correct. That is Ed.
You looked at the floor.
How young?
I have telltale signs. 17?
Ah, that's legal in this country.
I know, well, but it's 21 in the US of A.
We were thinking six.
Yeah. if you drink when you're... If you, the first time you drink is 17 in the UK, you go to court for being a fucking pussy.
Fair enough.
What was it? Was it community service, fine, or just a good
behavior? No, I mean, it's worse. I mean, it's... I'm white. I was a girl. The first time I went, I tried to go by myself. And they were like, you need to bring your parents. And I was like, oh, okay. Then came back with my mom. This is how horrifying it was, actually. I forgot about this part until just right now. The judge was like, a girl like you, so pretty. What were you doing drinking in the woods?
You made that sound like a girl like you in a bar like this? Like
yeah. It was fucking weird. And then he was just like, get out of here. So, of course, nothing happened. Yet. Yeah.
Well, you got a story on a show, so there you go. Yeah. All
and
right.
Now I can never play piano in public.
That's what happens.
All right, at the end of the game, the scores are Sarah Schaefer, 3 points. Go for Sarah! Deanne Smith, 5 points. Mark Watson, 5 points. Ed Gamble, 6 points. He's our winner!
So where do we stand on this whole sit-up situation?
Watson!
Yeah! I had genuinely forgotten that.
Yeah.
I will fucking do it.
All right. We've got to do 10. That's what you said, 10. Yeah.
Do you want me to spot you? You know how people hold feet?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Also, this is a real shame.
I'll spot you, and by spot you, I mean film it on my phone.
All right, let's count them out.
Just imagine it's a 24-hour show, Mark. This is...
Yeah.
How much have you got to set up before it counts?
You come up.
How much have you got to set up before it counts?
Up a bit more. Bring your knees up to you a bit. It's going to be easier. Knees up. That's it. Yeah. And now crunch up, hands on top of your
Mark, do you
knees.
Know what a sit-up is?
I don't think this guy in the sauna actually did sit up. I think he just got up. Like, yeah. Here we go. One, two, three.
Watson!
Crowd surf!
Oh, what have I created?
Ultimately, we've all had a nice time.